Welcome to the Becoming Superhuman podcast. My name is Dr. Nirvani Umadat, and I spent years as a dentist, researcher, traveler of the world, and entrepreneur. Through helping thousands of people and my studies of conventional, ancient, and spiritual sciences, I've realized that merging science and spirituality is necessary for us to understand who we really are. I'm here to empower you to up-level your life, mind, body, and soul, and to become your own version of superhuman. Are you ready to let go of the idea that just because you're becoming older, you also have to become weaker, that your bones have to become brittle, your teeth may fall out, your heart may give way? Because although all of those things can happen, it doesn't necessarily have to be true for you that they will happen. Those are just beliefs. And today I would like to talk about a little known vitamin that can help you make the belief that as you become older, you can become stronger, you can become more vital, you can become healthier, a reality for you. Today I'm going to talk about vitamin K2. And as a dentist, this is something that has been fascinating for me to learn about because it is something that is nutritionally available. You can supplement this in your diet in a natural, holistic way. And the idea that your teeth over time have to break down, or that you can't fortify your teeth and your mouth against disease and ultimately the rest of your body, it's simply not true. And the more we understand the role that naturally derived things like vitamin K2 can influence our bodies, the more empowered we become to make really good decisions around what we eat, what we consume, and hopefully ultimately the beliefs that we hold about ourselves. So why am I talking about vitamin K2, and why is it important in dental health? And then once we've kind of formed that groundwork, I will talk about how it influences our health overall and health in the rest of the body. But as a dentist, my interest lies in natural ways for us to strengthen our teeth and really reduce inflammation that shows up in our mouth, because that is definitely a sign of inflammation or disease processes going on elsewhere in the body. And the way that vitamin K2 works is it is sort of this director or conductor for calcium. And by this point, I think it's relatively commonly known that calcium is important for the strength of our teeth, the strength of our bones, and overall structural strength within our body. The role that vitamin K2 plays as far as calcium goes, is that it actually directs the uptake of calcium within the teeth and within the bones. And this has been shown in literature, it's been shown in research, and it has actually been known for a long time now that vitamin K2 influences a protein called osteocalcin that is located in the bones primarily, but elsewhere. It's also in the teeth. And when osteocalcin is activated by vitamin K2, it binds or it retains calcium within the bones and within the teeth, and actually strengthens the bones and teeth in doing so. The importance of this is that the more vitamin K2 you have in your body, the better directed the calcium in your body. Why do I say better directed? because we often hear about calcium supplementation for strong teeth, strong bones, and vitamin D. And there are a lot of people talking about vitamin D and calcium and taking those two things together and making sure that you're supplementing with both of those. And although if you're in need of vitamin D and calcium supplementation, those could be good things, that's only a part of the story as to what happens in your body when you're taking these things. So vitamin D is helpful for the absorption of calcium from the gut. And that's important. But beyond just absorbing calcium, you know, we now have to direct where it goes because it can go to many places within the body, some of which we don't want it ending up, namely our arteries. So if you've heard of arterial plaques or artery calcification or artery stiffening in the body, you're really hearing about the process of calcium getting locked into the blood vessels, which is not a good thing. You don't want stiff, calcified, restricted blood vessels in your body. You want those things to be as low resistance and as conducive to flow of blood as they possibly can be. And stiffening due to calcium deposition is not one of the things you want happening in your blood vessels. And this is a key cause of cardiovascular disease and major heart issues in a lot of people across the population. So going back to teeth for a second, what does the vitamin K2 do within the teeth to strengthen them, and why is that important? And I'll go back to the osteocalcin. So osteocalcin binds calcium through the activation of vitamin K2, and it strengthens the teeth from the inside out, meaning that there is a resistance to acid breakdown, which often occurs with lots of sugar intake and changes to the bacterial composition in your mouth. So there are external factors and internal factors that affect what happens to each of your teeth. External factors are things like the bacterial composition in your mouth, the foods that you're eating, and the saliva composition in your mouth as well. So all of those things combined, they can either help to protect and or strengthen your teeth or to break them down. And it is not any one thing. It is a combination of all of those things externally happening in your mouth that affect your teeth and ultimately cause degradation of the tooth structure. And then in addition to that, from the inside out, there is a fluid flow that happens throughout the teeth and throughout the internal structures of each one of your teeth. And when fluid is flowing passively and constantly throughout the internal structure of the tooth, there is this sort of like inside out washing that's happening of your teeth. That washing helps to eliminate or remove plaque that's getting deposited onto the teeth. And that is composed of bacteria, which ultimately can cause breakdown to the teeth. So when you're getting this cleaning or this washing happening from the inside out, you are removing the opportunity for acid breakdown of the teeth. So now, on top of that, we've found that you can actually strengthen the tooth structure by adding vitamin K2 to the diet. And this is not new information. It's just information that's now being newly resurfaced. And I, for one, am excited to present it here because I think it's important for us to acknowledge the effect that diet has on our bodies, and in this case, specifically dental health. But this is not new information. And I've spoken about Weston Price in the past, but Weston Price was a dentist who was also a prolific researcher. He published lots of papers and conducted a lot of research over many years. And one of the things that he did, which was exceptional for his time and in his day, is over the course of the 1920s and the 1930s, he traveled the world and he assessed different communities all over the world. And he looked for things that he could see that were objective in, namely, their lifestyle and diets, that were either contributing to health or contributing to disease. And he looked at dental health, dental disease, but also really looked at overall health of the people that he was studying. And he went to, I believe it was 14 different regions or different communities, and chose these areas specifically because they had groups of their population that were still living, quote unquote, primitively or closer to what we would have considered an older lifestyle or a less industrialized, less commercialized way of life. And then they also had groups of the population that were in more urban centers and were living a lifestyle that was more industrialized, where there was more processed food, there were more additives to the food in comparison to the populations that were living closer to the ground, so to speak. They were farming their food, they were milling things themselves, there was very little to no processed foods being consumed. And he compared people who were in very similar geographic locations and shared similar genetics and looked at what some of these external dietary and lifestyle factors were. And when he did this, he observed a lot of things, but one of which was people eating foods that what he termed had lots of activator X in them were more resistant to developing cavities, were more resistant to developing periodontal disease, and overall seemed healthier. So he looked at people and he looked at their diets, and he didn't know what this special factor was that he was kind of seeing across these populations, but he termed it activator X, and he basically made this claim that activator X was something that was primarily found in whole foods, non-processed foods that were fermented, and foods that were dairy-based. And these were some of the conclusions that he drew. And now, here we are, almost 80 years, or probably just over now, 80 years since he published this series of papers and came to these conclusions. And we're now elucidating that activator X is actually vitamin K2, and that there is an incredibly important role for vitamin K2 in calcium regulation throughout our body. And that's why when we are well adapted as far as our levels of vitamin K2 within the body, we appear healthier, we appear stronger, we actually are stronger. But the bones and the teeth, these really dense, hard structures that have the ability to become brittle and fragile over time if they're not nutritionally supported, they do so much better with vitamin K2 in the circulation because calcium is being held in the right places. Now, I mentioned bone, and the reason for that is that osteocalcin is also present in bone, and it does the same thing once again when activated by vitamin K2. So you've got K2 K2 in circulation. You have this osteocalcin, which is primarily found in bone. It's found in teeth. And when it is activated by vitamin K2, calcium is being held in these denser areas of the body. It's being retained and it's being supported with nutrition. And so you get bones, you get teeth, and you get overall hormonal balancing that is supportive of strength and vitality in the body. And this is something that's incredibly important to understand, especially since levels of osteoporosis, osteopenia, low bone density, especially in women, they're becoming almost like epidemic proportions in our populations. It's now estimated that almost 20% of women will develop osteoporosis. So that's 1 in 5 women walking around right now either have or will develop osteoporosis and low bone density. So if there is a way that we can not only curb this, but prevent it entirely and do so naturally, why not take that preventative route, especially when it is a relatively easy one? And I'm just going to read from a paper here that I was investigating, just some of the commentary that they had around vitamin K2 and its effects on the body overall. Carboxylation of osteocalcin by vitamin K2 permits it to attract and retain calcium, which is good in the bones. The reverse process happens in cardiovascular tissues because matrix GLA proteins allow calcium to settle in arteries when they are uncarboxylated, but shed calcium when they are carboxylated with sufficient vitamin K2. So, what does that mean exactly? Essentially, vitamin K2, it has this effect of allowing calcium to be retained in the bones and in teeth. And what it also does is it ensures that calcium is not retained in areas like cardiac tissue, the blood vessels. It's actually released into circulation rather than sitting in the blood vessels and causing stiffness or calcification of the blood vessels. So there is an important function for it in overall health as well, and particularly cardiovascular health, or the health of your heart and blood vessels and blood flow, to put it in a simplistic form. And I think most people now know as well that cardiovascular disease or some form of heart disease or heart condition is also incredibly prevalent in our society and is something that, once again, if we were modulating our diet well and supplementing our bodies well with readily available dietary supplements, is something that we could at least curb, if not entirely avoid problems with. And that's why I wanted to present this information, is to just kind of hit home that there are ways for us to feel really good, really strong, really dynamic, and to push past that idea that just because we're getting older, we have to get weaker. It's not true. And one fundamental part of why we have been sold this story and believe it is that over time, our nutrition and our ability to nourish ourselves with the food we eat has just declined to such a high degree that we now don't trust that we can be healthy and we can be strong and we can be vital, even though a lot of it comes down to, what are we eating? What are the foods that we're consuming? How are we supporting our bodies to do the things that it needs to do? And having said all of this about vitamin K2 and its importance in regulating calcium within the body, in allowing us to have strong blood vessels, good patent blood flow throughout those blood vessels, strong bones, strong teeth, good hormonal balance, all of these things are not only important for our overall health, but are important for our future health. Like how we feel right now is, it plays a role in our future selves, in the older version of ourselves. And that's not to say that you can't change and you can't modify and you can't become a better version of yourself, because I absolutely think you can. But if things are functioning well now, and if there is intention and direction behind why you're doing well, that sets you up to be in a good place as the future older version of yourself. And there is no reason why you can't become a healthier version as you get older. I'm just going to swing back to one point I wanted to make in regard to vitamin K, and specifically vitamin K2, and the more systemic view of dental disease and cavities, because I do think it's important that we understand that although it sounds like these are things happening in our mouth, and I'm talking about teeth and I'm talking about dental health, it's all related. Like, you can't separate one area of your body from another. So the systemic view of dental caries, dental cavities, links dental caries to diabetes. When high blood glucose in the hypothalamus increases metabolic activity, more positively charged free radicals, specifically reactive oxygen species, are produced. They are the warning signs for the hypothalamus to down-regulate parotid hormone while up-regulating the pancreas to produce insulin. Antioxidants help manage the free radical storm in the hypothalamus caused by blood glucose spike. So basically, when you get this spike of blood glucose or blood sugar, it tells your body that there is too much sugar in circulation and we need to get it out. So your pancreas starts releasing insulin to allow the cells to pick up some of the sugar, get the sugar out of circulation, get it into the cells to be used for oxygen. But as that is happening, and there's more energy production happening, and byproduct from that energy production is reactive oxygen species, which are sort of this mitochondrial byproduct of energy production. And when you have this increase in reactive oxygen species, you then get a signal to your, within your brain happening, saying we need to decrease the amount of hormone that the parotid gland, which is a gland in your cheek, is producing, and we need to increase the amount of insulin that the pancreas is producing. And the antioxidants, or the structures that combat that reactive oxygen species in the bloodstream. So it's important for us to really redirect our thinking so that we can start using intention and really be directed about what we're consuming in our diet. And as far as what that looks like, what are some foods that you can find high levels of vitamin K2 in? Those things include, and this one is not overly common in a North American diet, but is exceptionally common in Japan. It's called natto. It's fermented natto, which is big in Asian cuisine. But some options that are more common in North American diets are certain cheeses. So cheese in general is fermented. Hard cheeses, so a cheese, for example, like Gouda, would be considered a hard cheese, is one that has high levels of vitamin K2 in it. So that's something to consider if you're looking for vitamin K2 nutritional supplements or dietary supplements for vitamin K2. The other place you can find it is egg yolk. So the egg white for a long time was considered the protein dense portion of the egg, and the egg yolk was considered a high cholesterol portion of the egg, and people were throwing these egg yolks away. Now we have switched our thinking around that and are understanding that if you're going to consume eggs, there is benefit to consuming the egg as a whole. And as far as this discussion goes and vitamin K2 consumption goes, it's primarily found within the egg yolk. So that's another easy way to get it. And then lastly, grass-fed butters or grass-fed dairy products in general. Grass-fed butter has become quite commonplace now. And so that's something that's easily found in the grocery store. So those are some ways that you can incorporate vitamin K2 nutritionally into your diet. There's always supplementation with pills, which I'm not a massive advocate of, but if for whatever reason some of these food choices don't lend to being something that is easy for you to incorporate into your diet, I would strongly consider beefing up your vitamin K2 intake for all of the reasons I've just gone over. And I hope that with this information, you're feeling a little bit more empowered, a little bit more excited, and a little bit more of a believer that as you get older, you can become stronger. I believe that each of us is here for a very special reason, and that we were all born to be superhuman. So now it's up to each one of us to choose to be strong, to choose to be healthy, to choose to be vital, and to leave the idea that you become weak, you become sick, and you're fraught with disease over your lifetime. Thank you for tuning in and listening, and I will see you next time on Becoming Superhuman.